Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. My guest tonight is Rod Smith, and I will be calling him in just a moment. He is a filmmaker. From what I see on IMDb, he mostly is a writer. And just give me a moment. Unfortunately, I have to do it this way or things get messed up. So it should be dialing soon, and we should be talking to Rod Smith shortly. Here we go. Hello, can you hear me okay, Rod?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, it doesn't always happen that way, so I always make sure I ask. And just so you're aware, there's sometimes an overlap, just like there is on, some of the big time shows that have, over the air things. And sometimes I may not know that you're done talking and interrupt you, but it's not on purpose. So I just want to warn you about that.
Sure. Not a problem. Everybody interrupts me anyway.
Okay, now, when I was doing my research, of course, everything isn't on IMDb, just like with a lot of people. But, of course, I didn't know that because I don't know that much about you. So I had looked on IMDb, and I'm thinking, well, he's got to have done more than that. So then I went on Facebook, and I see, well, yeah, it sure does, because there's a bunch of other things on Facebook. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to first go over the stuff that's on IMDb, and then if there's time, which there probably will be because it's an hour show, then we'll talk about some of the stuff on Facebook.
Sure.
Okay, good. So I wanted to ask you about this Preacher's Little Secret. I know that's a short, and you did the screenplay, so why don't you tell whoever's listening about that particular thing?
Well, Preacher's Little Secrets was one of these little you've heard of these 48-hour film projects, and it's kind of a funny thing because I got a phone call from a friend of mine who is a cinematographer, and he said, and this is about 6 o'clock in the evening, and he said, the guy who was going to write for us just quit, and they're about to give us our information that we write off of at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Would you write for us? And so I was sitting at home. I didn't have anything to do. So I said, sure, I'll write for you guys. So at about 6:45, they sent me the information. So I wrote that thing. Oh, Lord. It's only 7 pages because it's 7 minutes, but I wrote that thing in about 30 minutes. Sent it back to them, right? And, it turned out fine. It's a short, and I'm not a short writer. I'm not a guy who likes shorts. Shorts to me are very difficult to develop characters, and it's one of those things where I feel like they're interesting, but every time you see a short or I see a short, if we like it, we want to see more. Right.
Right.
It's not really one of my things that I like doing.
Understandable. So, what about the Bethlehem? You did a little bit more with that one. You were the writer, executive producer, and you also directed that one.
Yeah, and and this is one of the things that happens with independent film at times. That one and Cognitive, the same exact concept happened. We put it together. It was a fun concept. It's really based on a female serial killer who likes to kill in very elaborate ways. So she actually puts together this group of people. and develops this whole backstory for them. And then slowly but surely, one at a time, she kills them. And she, at the same time, while she's doing it, she's reporting to another serial killer, hey, this is what I'm doing, and I'm about to surpass your killing numbers, you know. So she's acting as though she's in some kind of competition, right? So we got done with that film, and then we sold it to a distributor, right? And we sold the distributor, and this distributor said, okay, we're going to do this. And they paid us up front. So it was one of these things where we were kind of sitting back waiting. And lo and behold, that distribution company went out of business.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. And so they own the film. But where the film actually is, only God knows. So that, you know, that was the end of that one. But it's actually kind of interesting because I'm taking some aspects of it and I'm put, you know, some of the character concepts and putting them into another film. Because I technically own certain aspects and certain rights of this film because they were supposed to distribute it and have it out there within a certain period of time. Well, that time has ended. And so I'm going to now take it and remake her and recreate her. And
oh,
so
cool.
I'm actually writing that for a friend of mine. The name of the it's part of a series that we're going to put the series with Phil Herman.
Oh, cool.
And and so it's a series that's called The Contractor right now. That's a working thing, but it's once again related in a sense to a woman who is in competition with another serial killer, and kind of go through the same process.
Yeah, Phil Herman's a good one to work for. Well, with whatever, you know what I mean.
Yeah, great guy, very, very, very nice man.
Yeah. Yes.
And then with when we did Cognitive, that got distributed by I don't know, I don't like to say names, but that got distributed and actually ended up getting seen in South America a little bit, and then vanished because the company that was doing the distribution, who had purchased it from me, went under. And they were a major player. So if I say that, I'm sure you know who they are. Okay. And
yeah,
just
I probably would.
Okay. But I don't want, you know, I don't like to, in a sense, talk ill of the dead.
Right.
And then, and then after that, of course, you know, I wrote Mayday, which was a Max Cerce film. While I was writing Mayday, he asked me, will you write a film called Tower 8, which I still own that film, and I'm going to produce that in 2021. But he wanted it. He came to me and he said, we cannot get a tower. Will you rewrite this in a different way? And it's the movie called Lockdown, which will come out probably this September, I'm guessing. And both of those are Lionsgate films.
Oh, wow.
So,
very cool.
You know, Mayday's done very well. I think it's in like seven different markets. It's really, really doing way better than I fully expected. But Lionsgate is Lionsgate, and they're able to really put things out there. You know, they've got the money, they've got the power, they've got what they need to do that. And so the numbers for that one are it's done very well. And it's still going. And it's been a year. And so, you know how in this market with indie films, it's hard to keep things going strong for a year.
Right. Yeah, it is. That's one way that Facebook comes in handy, because you have your friends and they share things for you, and then their friends share, and before you know it, it goes all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but those two films were what made me decide. I still have a number of films that are bigger films. Let's say between, 800,000 and 5 million, right? But, I'll continue to write those and sell those and that sort of thing. I love that part of things. But to be honest with you, working on those two films made me decide that I'm going to do my own stuff. And so we just got done doing, it's so funny. I was editing it this morning and I still can't think of the name of it right now. Sins of the Mother. So I'm editing Sins of the Mother right now. We shot that during June, which, we had to really do it right with the COVID thing and that sort of thing and make sure everybody was protected. And all of us came out of it, no problems. You know, we isolated ourselves. We took the tests. There was more cleaning supplies around here than I've ever seen in my life. And so that will, God willing, that'll come out just before Halloween. Once again, that's another one that I'll put that with Phil Herman as one of the places I put that. Because, you know, I really respect him, and I feel like he's a very honest man, and it's hard to find honest, upstanding guys in this field. And that film is really, really based upon I don't know how religious you are or anything like that, but biblically, in the Old Testament, they talk about the sins of the father come down to the son, right? Well, I don't like working with men. I prefer working with women. Most everything that I do is always related mainly as the women are the main characters, okay? And so this film is dedicated to the idea, the question of, do the sins of the mother go to the daughter? And that's basically what it is. Yeah, I mean, everything I've ever written, even Mayday and Lockdown were originally written as films oriented towards females. I think females are so much more interesting as characters. You know, I seldom meet two women who are the same. Whereas I meet a lot of men who fall into one of five categories, okay? So when you're writing about the men, it's just not as entertaining for me as a writer. And so this one's really, there's three women in this film and one man.
Wow. I like when people do that kind of thing. Not that I have to see, you know, a woman being the star or anything, but it's like, you know, we've already seen men doing everything. So put these women actors, put them to work and let them do what we all know that they can do. There's some great female actors out there, and they can be so much more than, even now, they're not allowed to do. They're always put in like a lower position. They're paid less, even though they're doing exactly the same amount of work. And it's just ridiculous. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off.
I think that's very true. Okay, it's also true when you look at crew work, right? There just aren't a lot of women given chances when it comes to directing, cinematography, sound, different things. And I know that historically it's mostly been men who have taken those jobs, but women bring a lot to the table. And what I try to tell people all the time is that in any setting where you have too many men or even too many women, right?
Right.
It's unbalanced. And so, but in Hollywood and in many films, it's traditionally been too imbalanced towards men.
Right.
So that's been,
you're correct.
And you know, for example, you know, Tower 8, which I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to do that probably in the fall of 2021, okay? That film is based off of a true story about a woman. And I can't give everything away, but I'll say this. The true-to-life woman endured like 15 days of being, she was a guard at a prison, and she endured 15 days of abuse from three men who had taken her hostage, who were prisoners there, okay? And she was the hero, okay? And in the film, she's going to be the hero, and that's it, because what she did was remarkable. Just remarkable. I mean, I'm a man. I was in the Marines for many, many years, and I wonder, when I read about her, I wondered, could you do that? You know, could you have done that? And I don't know.
Yeah, whenever I see these films where the women are always made out to be, little mousy things, and they're always telling the men stupid stuff like, oh, don't do that. Oh, you can't be violent. Hey, you know what? If somebody was messing around with me and you're my boyfriend, husband, or whatever, and you don't try to defend me, you're going to be gone. Because that's the least you can do is try to defend me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at it, right, especially in the late 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, they played women, you know, especially in horror and action films, as stupid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was always, now, honey, don't go in the house. And what does she do? Goes in the house.
Goes.
Don't go upstairs.
Yeah.
She goes upstairs, right? And she's always really kind of placed in a position where the man has to come and save her, right? Or she's killed, you know, one or the other, right?
Right.
And it really played very stupidly, okay? And,
yeah,
you know, one of the reasons that I love the movie Friday the 13th, which was a wonderful film, and I'm very good friends with Adrienne King, who was the star of that movie. She played the little redhead who kills, you know, Mrs. Voorhees, right? It's because in the end, one of the great parts about that film is it's two women. If you take a look at Mrs. Voorhees, she's probably one of the best evil characters ever to be in horror.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So right now in November, and I don't think I've got this in Facebook or anywhere else, we actually are going to do a film called Distortion. I was scheduled to do some other stuff, but Tatiana, my wife, got talking about something, and I made the decision that we're going to do that in November. And that will be, I mostly write psychological horror and that sort of thing, but this will be really a bloody grindhouse type of horror flick.
Oh, wow.
And it'll have some psychological elements to it, but it'll be more bloody. And she and I got to talking, and it was kind of one of these things where it was almost as though we both turned to each other and said, we dare each other to do this movie. And I said, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. And so now we're going to do it. And once again, the entire cast is, in this particular case, are female. Okay. So there's six females in the film, and there's not a single man in this film. And in fact, the only man that'll even be on set is me. Now, they may want to kick me off, but you know, I'm not letting them do that. So we'll see how it goes.
Well,
and then
good. Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, like I said before, it's not like, oh, I have to see women in control all the time, but it just is so much better when we can see stuff like that, and then of course young girls seeing stuff like that with women being strong characters. And that's one thing that was so great about the movie Alien and Sigourney Weaver, because she was the one that kicked the alien's butt. She was the one that survived and got rid of the bad monster. So that was really great for, you know, people that were growing up at that time, women, because they were like, wow, the woman was made out to be the hero.
Yeah.
And then we just want more.
That's
and
right.
If you don't mind, me saying one other thing. This friend of mine named, you may even know him, Dave Casaloni. And made this film. Yeah, he made this film called Backwoods Marcy. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Yeah, well, it is hard to find. So they, you know, because I hadn't seen it either until recently. But it's along the same lines. Because what he did for this movie, him and the person that he was working with, is that they decided that a woman would be the bad person. And you know those movies where they always have these guys that are doing horrendous stuff to women, you know, raping them, cutting them, and different things, and they're always doing something to women. And, you know, that gets boring because it's just the same thing over and over. Well, in this one, it's the woman doing it to the man, but you know, including raping him. But it's not that I like to see that kind of stuff happen to a man. It's that it was nice for a change to see a horror movie that showed something happening to a man instead of to a woman, because that just gets old, just like with nudity. I don't care about nudity. Who cares? I mean, you know, so if I see a naked woman, I don't care. But it means absolutely nothing to me. But if you're going to have the nudity, well, then show more than just women. Show the guys naked, too.
Sure.
If I want to see anybody naked, if I want to see anybody naked, I want to see a guy naked, not a woman. Okay, I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent. So
no, you know what?
But
you have to, you know, you have to look. I don't know the exact figure, but it's something like 65% of the decision maker of what movie we're going to see is women, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's closer to like 72% on streaming, the decision maker is a woman. So if you know that, isn't it time then that you tell yourself, well, you know what, by God, we're going to give women what they want? Because they're the major audience.
Yeah, and there's so many filmmakers that don't get that, because I have a lot of filmmaker friends. And this one filmmaker friend of mine was complaining that, you know, a newer movie of his, that it wasn't making any money. And I had seen the movie. And so I said, actually he was complaining about the last few of his movies weren't making any money. And I said, and how they had a low audience. And I said, did you ever stop to think that it's because women don't want to watch that because all you have is naked women in it? A heterosexual woman doesn't care about that, because he was complaining he didn't have any women in his audience. And so I said, well, start putting some naked guys in there, and you'll see it works. Because if you look at movies that are popular with women, okay, let's start with Lethal Weapon. That movie was popular with women. Why? Because Mel Gibson's naked butt was in it.
Sure.
That's why.
Sure.
So there you go. And then, of course, there's, you know, other things too. And like I was going to say, I don't care about the nudity, but let it be fair. In this one movie, I won't say which one it is, but they show this man in bed with three women. Okay, that's fine. And they're all naked, but he gets out of the bed and he's fully clothed.
Yeah.
No. So now that I went off on a tangent and took up your time, sorry about that.
No. I, you know, we're in total agreement. You know, I laugh all the time when, because I get a lot of people who send me scripts, you know, because we're all trying to help each other, and I'll get some guy, and it'll be the top four characters are men, and then the fifth character is a woman. Okay, and she's really there for gratuitous reasons. Okay, and all the top men, they're all basically the same damn personality, right? And
yeah.
I'm thinking, dude, you know, your audience wants interesting characters, and one of the things I learned long ago was if you watch, older films, okay, they developed characters really well, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they sure did.
And everybody's got their place within the film because in many ways they're all part of different personalities that anybody can have, right? And they're not the same. You know, a perfect example is something like Star Trek, right? You have the logical guy, you've got the kind of hero guy, you got the doctor who is he has his own personality. It's a little more like the child concept. Then you've got the engineer, and everybody in there has a completely different personality trait, and you could actually put them all together, and you could put them all together and make one human being, because that's how different they are, and that really, really sells because you keep interest with all your characters. If the only person with a character is John Wayne, okay, and everybody else is an idiot, people are going to get bored.
Yep. And that's exactly what happens with a lot of the horror movies. Because I was talking to a male friend of mine, and I specifically say that because he's a guy and he likes to see naked women. But he was saying, well, I get tired of that. If all it is just naked women, what good is it? I could see that online. I could just go to the porno sites and see that. He wants a movie with a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
in today's world, okay, these, you know, most of your audience, they can't even escape nudity. It's everywhere, right? It's not like when I was a kid. And I'm older, so when I was a kid, you know, we used to actually go steal a Playboy. Okay? Right? Because that was the only place we were going to ever see a naked woman.
Right.
Nowadays, it's almost to the point where people are desensitized to the idea of nudity.
Yeah, there's still something that, and it's usually men that have a problem with it, that they think that it's not okay to show a naked man. Well, another one I wanted to mention as far as nudity, Terminator. That was popular with women. Why? Arnold Schwarzenegger was naked.
And so was Michael Biehn. The other guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other. Yeah.
But
and
you also have a female hero.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there was one part which a lot of people don't remember in Terminator, and you do have to, like, kind of be looking for it or you miss it. But, you know, being a woman, I was looking for it. When he starts walking up to those punks, you know, those three punks, when he starts walking up to them, he's swinging. You can see it. It's swinging as he's walking. So, I mean, it was complete nudity. So, and that's why the women liked it. Like, you know, how often do you get to see that in a movie? Not very often.
Sure. Well, yeah.
So I'm glad that you make these kind of movies, because now I'm going to want to go and watch them now.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, that was one of the reasons I made the decision I was going to do something else, because in Mayday, they changed the movie and made a man Zero. In Lockdown, they did the same thing. And so I didn't like that concept, you know, and I don't like changes in films, because I feel like we today, you know, Alfred Hitchcock said, what's the three most important things to a film? The script, the script, the script.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, come around the 90s, they completely threw that out the window. And it's gotten worse ever since. And there are people who want to change scripts all the time, where they just, they lose their ending or they lose their climaxes. And it's, that part of it is, that's something I don't want. And I'm going to add an age now where, you know, I figure if I can put together 20 more movies before I die, I'll be a happy boy.
No.
You know.
Well, you probably will, because from what I see, you're doing pretty well as far as, you know, getting films made. So I can see that happening. I mean, you're not some old fart. You can't be much older than me. I'm 60.
Well, I'm a little bit older than you. Yeah. And,
okay. Well,
you know,
a little.
But, you know, I originally, how I got in this business is, years ago, you could write what they called a treatment and sell it to a writer. That's how I got started. You can't do that anymore. But
right.
I used to do that all the time. And that was years and years ago. The only bad part about it is, of course, is that you signed an agreement never to divulge that you wrote it. And,
right, yeah.
And so suddenly, for me, what really turned it around was one day I looked up and there's my movie, and it became a pretty big movie, and I thought, well, you're never doing this crap again. You're going to write your own. And that's what I did.
Well, good for you. That's what I have to say about that. I do have a question for you. And it, you know, it's not like a really important thing. But going back to the cognitive psychosis, now, I saw that you did a lot of stuff with it. You were the writer, producer, director, cinematographer. You did the locations. And I noticed, at least on IMDb, that that's your only acting credit. Now, is that like choice
God.
That you don't act?
Yes. Let me tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you this, the God's honest truth. I will never, ever be in front of a camera again. I did that only because I had to.
Aw.
It was
that
it
bad
was
of an experience.
The most depressing. Oh, terrible. I mean, it was just terrible. It was the worst experience of my entire life. I would rather literally, and I tell this to my Tatiana, she laughs at me, I would rather give birth. Okay, than do that again. And, of course, being a guy, I have no clue what that's about. But, by God, I know it's painful. It's a terrible situation for a lot of women. I would never, ever want to do that again. And you know, people said, oh, yeah, you did good and stuff like that. But, you know, it was something that happened at the last minute. and I had to do something, and so I did it. And never again.
Yeah, if it's something that you don't enjoy, then no, why keep doing it? I mean, unless it's like, you know, a regular day-to-day job that you have to do because you need to make money. Because I know a lot of people don't like their jobs, but they still go and do them because that's their job and they've got to make money to live. But unless
that's right,
it's something
yeah.
like that, then, yeah, why do it? I mean, because you can always do something else. So
yeah.
which
yeah.
thing do you like to do the most? Do you think of yourself more as a writer than anything else?
Yeah, I think because I started writing when I was 13. I started writing books when I was 13 and wanted to be an author. And so that's really the number one. And then number two is cinematography.
Mm.
You know, years ago, I should have started doing that right off the bat, because I've had a camera in my hand since I was 6 years old, and I should have focused on that, and I didn't. You know, I always ended up having somebody else around me that was a cinematographer and things, but for me, yeah, no, those two will be the main focus. I don't need to direct, you know, I don't care about it. I just want to do the other two.
Yeah, everybody's got their own thing. Some people like doing a bunch of stuff because really in the independent film industry, and if you want to do your own stuff, like what you said you want to do, you do end up having to do of the things yourself because that's just the way it works out. And but except for the acting, you won't do. You can always get somebody else. But I'm just being funny because of what you said about, you know, not wanting to do that again. Because we don't want you trying to have a baby, so we'll leave the acting alone. So, but, yeah, when you got that kind of thing with the independent and you end up doing a bunch of things, some of the people really love doing all that stuff, and then other ones only do it because they have to because they're independent filmmakers. And then usually people have their favorites of which ones they like to do, and that's one of the things that I like to sometimes I have to pull it out of people. But usually people are just – you know, willing to share that. But sometimes they're like, well, but that's one of the things that I like to ask because it's interesting to me because sometimes people will do things more than the other even though they don't enjoy it as much just because that's just the way things came out. Like, say, if you didn't like writing as much, I know you just said that you did, but I'm just, you know, it's a hypothetical. You say you
sure.
didn't like writing as much as cinematography, but because of the way things worked out and you did more writing than you did cinematography, you were unhappy with that, but that's the way it worked out because those were the jobs you were offered and you would rather write a script than not do a film at all.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. You know, and for me, the joy is in the creation. So I love to write it. I'll be honest with you. I direct because I can't trust anyone else. And I do the other things because I do the other things because to be honest, again, you know, I can't afford to have a crew of 30 people doing different jobs.
Right.
And that gets expensive
right.
very, very quickly. And, you know, in this market,
mm-hmm.
If you're an independent guy, you know, once that distributor takes it and they take their portion, you know, first of all, they're going to take all their costs out first, right? And then they're
right.
going to take their percentage. Then they're going to take their percentage. And then you're going to get paid, right? Well, I've seen guys who have done put together films, and the distributor turns them and says, "Well, here's what we've done cost wise," and they supposedly have spent $60,000 in just direct costs, and then they want their, let's say it's 30% or whatever it is that they want, right? Well, you know, you start to work the numbers, and if you spent, let's say you spend $50,000 on a movie of your own money, and mm-hmm. the distributor on the sales, they take away their cost, and let's say they say that's $30,000, and then they're going to take their 30%. Well, you know, you need to be doing some real sales to make back your money and make a profit. So if suddenly that $50,000 budget turns out to be $100,000 because you decided you needed more people,
right.
Now you have to do that much more. And that to me is hard, you know.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for people that can get a movie together, you know, on the cheap, and then it ends up being, even if it's not a great movie. I had this discussion with another guest, but I won't have it quite as long on this show since I was already talking before. But take Halloween, the original Halloween. Now, if
yeah.
you just look at the entire movie, it really wasn't that great of a movie. What made it a better movie, or I should say entertainment, it was entertaining, but it wasn't a great movie. But what made it entertaining is, once again, who was the hero in the movie?
Yes.
A female. She was the
yeah.
hero. And the doctor, too. So it was both of them, but it ended up okay because she was also the hero. But what made that a little bit different for people was that they had just thrown it together, and it only cost them, like, you know, $10,000. I mean, I know there's other costs besides just the $10,000, but that was their budget, $10,000. And then once you learn about it, you can start to appreciate how they made that movie, because they had nothing to work with, and that was actually a halfway decent movie.
Oh, sure.
And that's why I... Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead. It's your show.
No, you know, another movie like that is The Evil Dead. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Raimi made that while he was in college. And once again, it became a cult classic, right? And
mm-hmm.
the reason it did had nothing to do with money. It had to do with how great the writing for that film was and the plot, right?
Right.
And I think that for Halloween, people get mad at me because I think that Rob Zombie's version of the first Halloween was better. Okay, I like the fact that they get deeper into the backstory of the child. Okay, but the actual characters that they created were actually very believable and
yeah.
fun. You know, her two friends that get killed are both fun characters. Okay. I mean, when the first one gets killed, you are almost kind of, I hate to say this, but you're almost cheering because she's the most annoying girl on the planet. Okay.
Yeah.
and then the other one, you know, the other one is the same way. Right. And the kids in that film, the two children, I mean, they play it up and they do a great job. So I think they had good characters. They had a good plot. The concept was really good. And they didn't have any money, but they still did a decent job with things. And I think they, you know, that's what Hollywood needs, is to go back to that.
Yeah.
Because this whole, you know, reboots and sequels and all this nonsense, it's like, and they're all terrible.
Yeah.
And they need to end that crap, because what they're doing is they're getting rid of this idea that we're going to have, creativity again, right? Nothing's creative anymore. It's all about, okay, how can we suck the last dollar out of this? And that's why Hollywood's doing so badly. That's why they're not making any money.
Yeah, I mean, I like superhero movies, you know, to a certain extent. But when that's all you're pumping, or when it seems like that's all you're pumping out, well, you know, after a while I get sick of seeing those. I want to see something else. I don't want to see nothing but superhero movies. Just like I like horror movies, but I don't want to see nothing but horror movies. I want to see other movies. And the only ones that I don't care that much about not seeing are dramas, because dramas bore me. They have to be an exceptionally good drama to get my attention. Most dramas, I'll turn it off because I get bored.
Well, and, you know, that's why BritBox is doing so well, because they've created these dramas that, first of all, have great writing. They're really well put together. But the second thing is their cinematography, they're not just special effects. They're actually going back to what we used to do back in the day when we did things like Chinatown, right? It's great cinematography. It's well thought out. It's artistic. It isn't just some guy with his CGI computer thing going on making a movie.
Yeah.
And I think that that's...
Go ahead.
Nope, you're lady first.
Well, and the only thing I'm going to say is what I get really sick of hearing is when somebody said... And it doesn't mean that just because something is not original that it can't be good. But really, there's nothing original. So you don't have to try to be original, but don't try to copy something. But what I don't like is when all these people say, oh, that's so original. Oh, nobody's ever done that one. If you think that, then you haven't seen very many movies. Because, like with the shaky camera thing. Well, that's nothing new. they did that back in the silent movie days with shaky camera work. That's absolutely nothing new.
No, and there's been so many films that have been, you know, it's kind of like this, you know, it's like they tell you that Quentin Tarantino created the idea of directly talking to the camera. No.
That's
Laurel and Hardy created the idea of talking directly to the camera. Well, that's the 30s, okay? And so, you know, you're talking, you know, 70 years before he even thought about it. And, you know, they even did it when, do you remember George Burns and Gracie Allen?
Yeah.
They had a show, and in the television show, the whole television show was based on the idea that George could talk through the television to the audience.
Yeah.
So people have a very short memory. But that's but then again, I'm a nut.
The last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
But I'm kind of
a to say you're a nut.
I'm kind of a nut because people ask me all the time, who were the best filmmakers that were the greatest filmmakers ever? Well, Charlie Chaplin's number one. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Rausch is number two. He did all the Laurel and Hardy stuff, okay?
Right.
And then, you know, and then probably I'm going to go to, what's his name? Oh, Lord. I can't think of his name right at the moment. I'll think of it in a second. But it doesn't make any difference. But the point is, he shot during the 40s, okay, and the 50s, and even a little bit of the 60s. And to me, these were the greats, because they had to really make it work with just the audience and their talent that they had. They couldn't rely on editing, and they couldn't rely on CGI, and they couldn't rely on a lot of these things. It was literally real people, and that to me was the greats. No, those were the great people because they created amazing work. And if you think about someone like Charlie Chaplin, who sometimes did 3 movies in a month.
Right.
You know, and nowadays it would take you a month just to get set up. I mean, you know, I'm in New Mexico, and they were doing, I forget which movie it was, Lone Ranger or one of those movies. And I mean, I sat there, you know, I got invited to do some different things with them. And I thought, this is the longest set ever. You know, we're setting up all day to do 3 pages of a film. You know, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they still lost money.
It kind of is. Yeah, Charlie Chaplin, he also was one of the first ones that did lots of things in the movie besides just acting, because he acted, he directed, he composed, he was a choreographer. Basically, anything that needed to be done, he was doing it, because he had kind of your idea that he couldn't trust other people to do it.
Sure, and he, you know, he's doing his own stunts. He's doing, you know,
right.
he was really kind of the unbelievable filmmaker in so many ways.
Yeah.
But you know, and now, are you in New York? Is that where you are?
No, I'm in Ohio.
Ohio. Okay. I was wondering, you know, you know Phil, and I think Phil is in New York, if I remember correctly. We have to put a shout out to Avail TV. Everybody's got to watch that.
Yes, I do that a lot on my show. Talk about Avail TV, because you can see lots of things on there, especially in the short section. If you just want to watch something short, just go on Avail TV. It's free, and
and the thing is that you have some really creative people that are working their butts off to get films in there, and a good portion do a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Michael Rodriguez, you know, I think that he's doing a wonderful job, and he's putting some things on there and doing a great job. He's really an amazing, amazing guy.
I've had him on the show.
Have you? I've never spoken to him. I've been friends with him for a while on Facebook, you know, but I've never actually spoken to him. But this is a guy that, to me, really should be doing stuff in Hollywood, because he's got this creative mind that never stops. And I think that's an amazing feature.
Well, and I'm not just saying this because you're a guest on my show, but I feel the same way about you, actually.
From
talking to you, I feel the same way about you, that you have what it takes to get things to be the way they should be, instead of the way that they're just coming out now, that they just want to just keep pumping stuff out because it might make some money. You know, people get bored with that. Make something with substance, and that's what you got. You want to make things with substance.
Yeah, and so I'm not in. This isn't for me. It's none of this is about money, because if I wanted to make money, there are ways for me to make money. And
right.
And you know, I tell people all the time, you know, if you enter this business to make money, then you probably are missing out. I'm not saying that money shouldn't come, but I'm saying that if that's your focal point, you're really missing out, because you're missing the experience of it. Now,
yeah,
I do want to say one thing.
Standard on the money.
I'm assuming you get a few actors out there, okay? And I bring this up only because I just got this phone call yesterday, and I've made my mind up. This is not the first time I've gotten a phone call like this, but I want to talk about it. And that is for young women who want to be actresses, okay? You need to really watch yourself in this business, okay? There are some terrible people out there. There's some wonderful people, and there's some terrible people. And you don't go to auditions alone. You don't, you know, I'll say what happened. This was a young lady that is in the Los Angeles area. She got asked to go to an audition. They kind of called her up and said, oh, yeah, we heard about you. Come on down, blah, blah, blah. And there was no one there. And she got very, very lucky because things were not going well. Okay. And she got slipped something in her, like iced tea or something. Okay. And she was smart enough to realize that something had happened, and she got out of the building. But I just want to say, women in this business have to watch themselves and take precautions. You know, when Tatiana and I interviewed all the girls for Sins of the Mother, okay, we did auditions in our home, and I said to every one of those women, I said, you bring somebody with you.
Right.
That's it. That's the end of it. And I believe with all my heart right now, you just have to be very, very careful. This is an unusual time in our world.
Yeah, I've given people that advice too. And especially children, or maybe not even children, like teenagers, that they want to get into the business. And I tell them, never go to one alone. You always take somebody with you, whether it's your parent, an agent, or even just, you know, somebody that you know. Take them with you. And if they try to tell you that you can't have anybody in there with you, that's when you leave.
Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah. And again, that's my preaching for the day, but she had just called me the other day, and I think it was yesterday, I think, and she's very upset, and she got very lucky.
Yeah, she did. And actually, that worked out really good as far as time-wise. I was going to ask about some of these other things, but, you talked about all kinds of stuff, so it worked out okay, because we've got like 2 minutes left. And usually what I do in the last couple minutes is I ask you to let people know what is the best way to get a hold of you, and if you have movies that they could buy, where they could buy them, and stuff like that.
Well, do that some other time. We can put that out some other time if we need to. It's no big deal. Right now, you know, anything that I'm going to be doing that's coming out will be on Avail TV, it'll be on Tubi TV, it'll be on Amazon, it'll be on all the natural platforms. And I'm going to be doing my own distribution on this one, and that sort of thing, mainly because I paid for it myself, and I need to be able to recoup as much of that money as I can.
Right. Okay, so We've got like a minute, or actually it's less than a minute, but if there's something you want to say in closing, go ahead.
Well, I guess in closing, I just want to say thank you to you. I used to actually do this, okay? I used to actually have a podcast many, many, many years ago, okay? And I interviewed a lot of people, and the hardest part was to be someone who could ask questions but listen also. And that is something that you do extremely well. So I say bravo to you. Bravo to you, because I think that you did a very good job, and I am very appreciative.
Oh, well, thank you. And you've been a pleasure to have on the show. And they're telling me I have 10 seconds, so I want to say thank you to Rod Smith for being my guest for tonight, and have a good night, Rod.
You too. Have a good one, dear. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.